إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, on the subject of dua, few things to say. First and foremost, it is important to remember that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the dua is the biggest and most powerful weapon or tool of the believer. Now we seem to be living in a world where we are so caught up with the material world that we live in that we have forgotten that this material world is run by somebody, that this material world belongs to somebody, and that nothing happens in this material world without the will of that somebody, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. This friend of mine sent me a little note this morning. He said there was a drop of honey which fell on a countertop in the kitchen. There was an ant which came there and started eating from the edge of the honey. And after eating a little bit, the ant went away, but the draw and the pull of and the attraction of the honey was such that it came back and it ate some more and ate some more. And then the ant decided that this is so nice, I should be completely in this honey. So the ant crawled into the middle of the honey, and then of course you know what happens. The ant got stuck in the honey and the ant died in the honey. That is our state. Our state is that this dunya, this world is so sweet and it is so attractive that it keeps drawing us closer and closer until we get into the middle of it, and then we get stuck in it and then we die in it. May Allah save us from that. So, therefore, when we are stuck in this world, the reality we lose track of. And that is what is called ghaflat. Ghaflat is forgetfulness. What is forgetting what? Forgetting the reality. And the reality is that this world is less than a grain of sand on a beach. If somebody got this entire world as his or her possession, as their property to do with as they want, if every single human being, if every animal, every bird, every insect, every reptile became their slave, if they owned every drop of water in the ocean, every blade of grass, every leaf on every tree, if they owned all of that, they would still own something which is less than one grain of sand on a beach. So what? And that is, in that context, Rasulullah ﷺ said, the biggest weapon in time of need, the biggest tool in time of need for the woman is the dua. And that's why I say this is the treasure to the, this is the key to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now with respect to dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, as I said in the Quran many times, Allah taught us to make dua in so many times. But the key thing to understand about dua is the ultimate sign of ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ultimate sign of ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dua. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Ask me. Allah did not say, ask me in a state of wudu. Allah did not say, ask me facing the qibla. Allah did not say, ask me in salah. Allah did not say, ask me with a topi or without a topi. With a hijab, without a hijab. Allah did not say, ask me in this condition or that condition. Allah said, ask me. Ask me. Ya Allah, I'm in this condition. Ask me. I am in the other condition, ask me. Doesn't matter. Dua is the only thing. If you look at the ibadah, dua is ibadah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ad-dua'u ibadah. He said, dua is ibadah. He said, dua ad-dua'u mukhul ibadah. He said, dua is the brain of the ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah. That is why to make dua to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haram. It is the ayn of shirk. It is the essence of shirk to ask anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, even though dua is not just ibadah, it is the essence of ibadah. That is the only thing in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put any condition. Right? If you want to do salah, if you want to pray, you have to make wudu. There is no salah without wudu. Right? I am not talking about situations of majburi, you know, of compulsion. I am saying normally, there is, if somebody says, I want to pray, you say, do you have wudu? No, I don't have wudu. Go make wudu. For fasting, there are conditions. For hajj, there are conditions. For zakat, there are conditions. And so on and so forth. All ibadat, there are conditions. But for dua, there is no condition. There is no condition. You can make dua in any situation. Now, it makes sense because what is dua ultimately? Dua is the final call for help of the slave to his master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. So, how can you put conditions for that? Right? When does somebody ask for help? When he needs help. So, where is the condition? The issue of ta'alluq is that there are no conditions. No? I mean, that is the whole point of ta'alluq. Otherwise, what is ta'alluq? I mean, Avid bhai, for example, if somebody wants to meet him, he has to contact someone, write a letter, whatnot, get an appointment, this, that. If I want to talk to him, I talk to him. Because we have a ta'alluq. I don't have to go through this channel, that channel. The most proper channel for someone with ta'alluq is no channel. No? Straight. Now, Allah gave us examples of this. One of the finest examples, one of the most beautiful examples in the Quran is that of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Ibrahim alayhi salam is talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Kaifa tuhil mauta? So Allah, show me, how do you resurrect somebody after they die? Now, even more beautiful than this question is the answer to the question. He is saying, show me how do you resurrect someone who is dead. So, normal answer should be what? This is how I do it. No? But that's not how Allah answered it. What did Allah say? Allah says, Awalam tumi? Allah says, you don't believe? Ajib. Ta'alluq between the abd and the rabb. You don't believe I can do it? And then there. Answer of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Qalu bala. No, of course, I do believe. Walakin yatma'inna qalbi. I am asking only for the itmiran of my qalb. Ajib, huh? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Ibrahim alayhi salam said this, We have an even greater right to say it. This is dua. What else is it? This is dua. Dua is not only, Ya Allah, give me children, give me cars, give me houses, give me. See, the whole problem, our whole tragedy is that we are so stuck in material that we cannot think other than material. Ibrahim alayhi salam is not asking for money and gold and, you know, he is saying, show me how do you bring back to life something which is dead. Because this is the essence of our iman, no? Resurrection is the essence of our iman, that this life is not the end. This is only a transition from this state to that state. And that's why I have said many times before in Urdu, this beautiful word, intiqal, muntaqil hona. From this state to that state. Intiqal does not mean death. Intiqal means changing situation, changing a position, changing from one place to another place. So, he is asking this question. Ya Allah, show me this. Awalam tubi. Alu bala walakin yatma'inna qalbi. Ajib. This is dua. Then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about another dua of another Nabi, Zakariya alayhi salam. Zakariya alayhi salam, in his care is Maryam alayhi salam, who was his niece. Now, Maryam alayhi salam was among the salihin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Maryam alayhi salam in the Quran. And she is in this room, and Zakariya alayhi salam goes out somewhere from Masjid al-Aqsa. So, he locks the room from outside for her safety, because nobody should come and disturb her and so on. And she used to be engaged in dhikr and ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even at that young age. When he comes back, he sees fresh fruits in the room. Not just fresh fruits, but out of season fruits. It's not something which is available in the market or something. It's something, you know, it's like getting apples in the summer or something. So, completely out of season. So, he asks her, Ya Maryam, Anna laki hada. Oh Maryam, where did you get this from? She said, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yarzuhu man yashau bi ghairi hisab. He gives to whoever he wants without counting. So, now he recognizes the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what does he do? Now, he has no children. So, he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a waris. Again, not waris because he has got all this property, what to know. This is waris for the work of da'wat of Islam. So, he stands there, he makes dua. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that whole thing so much, he narrated in detail for us to understand how to make dua. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Zakariya alayhi salam was standing in his mihrab, meaning this place of where he used to pray normally. And he called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nida an khafiya. Allah said in a very soft and small voice. A man came into the masjid and he was making dua and he said, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't shout, your Rabb is not deaf. He said, why are you shouting? Talk nicely, talk with dignity. You are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why are you yelling? Sometimes you find, you know, people who say Ameen bil Jahar after Surah Al-Fatiha, they shout, Ameen! Are, Allah is not deaf, why are you shouting Ameen? Say it, bil Jahar, alhamdulillah, no problem, this is also sunnah. To say it softly is also sunnah, not to say it, you know, bil Jahar is both are sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are Ameen, coincide with the Ameen of the Malaika, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives your sins. So say Ameen, you must say Ameen. But there is no need to shout. Why do you shout? Because no adab, no tarbiyah. So, Nida and Khafiya, Zakariya alayhi salam, very soft voice. And then what does he do? He says, Ya Allah, I have become old. My hair has become white. My bones have become brittle and you know, they have lost strength. My wife is beyond the age of childbirth. But give me a waris. Now, this beautiful dua shows us how to make dua. Make dua with dignity. Talk about your own helplessness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's easy because we know we are helpless. And then talk about the greatness when you are asking. Talk about your helplessness. But when you are asking Allah, ask looking at the greatness and glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who has no boundaries. يَفْعَلَ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَىٰ وَيَحْكُمُ اللَّهُ مَا يُرِيدْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give whatever hukum He wants. What He can order, anything He wants. And He can do whatever He wishes. There's no boundaries. Allah has no boundaries. We have boundaries. So talk about your own weakness. But when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask with your eyes and your sight on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are talking to your elder brother or your father or your friend or somebody. You know he's also weak, I'm also weak, he's a little bit stronger than me. So what is the point in asking him for more than that? He can't give it. No. Allah has no limits. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is Zakariya alayhi salam saying? Again, Zakariya alayhi salam, please notice, he is not saying, Ya Allah, my wife who is with me, she is beyond her age of childbirth, give me a second wife, then give me a child. No. He is not showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how to achieve this. Ya Allah, this is the way. Let me show you the way. No. I am saying because this is how we make duas. We make dua. Ya Allah, give me this thing. And give me this thing if there is khair. Ya Allah, put khair and give me. What if there is khair? Khair will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asking for khair, nothing is wrong with that. I am just saying that don't make these, you know, the langade dua na karo. Ask Allah as if you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Zakariya alayhi salam is asking, he is talking about his own weakness. Ya Allah, I am helpless in this matter. Please give me a waris. He is not thinking, no, how will Allah give me a waris? I am old, my wife is old. No, that's not my problem. My problem is not to figure out how Allah should do this. I have to ask, I will ask. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like a young child asks their parents. A young child asks the mother or asks the father. How does a 2-year-old or something, how do they ask? They don't care. I want this. How I am going to give it, whether you can give it, you can't give it. No, you can give it, that's why I'm asking you. Khalas. Give me because I am asking you. Don't tell me some story. I'm not interested. I want this thing. What will the child do? The child makes your life miserable. Screams and shouts and rolls on the ground. I'm not saying we should do all that with Allah. I'm just saying that the zid is a sign of muhabbat. Zid kisse karte hai? Jisse muhabbat hai usse karte nahi to zid kya zid karte? This is the sign of ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask with insistence, ask without. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives whatever a slave asks for. The problem is people lose hope too early. He said, people give up asking. They ask for some time, after that they give up. I asked, I didn't get. No. You ask, your job is to ask. Remember that asking itself is ibadah. You are getting sawab for asking. What you are asking, Allah will give you, inshallah, that's a different issue. But just for asking, we are getting sawab. So let us ask. If Allah does not give, doesn't matter. My job is to ask. I will keep asking. I will keep on asking, asking, asking until I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final point is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this maybe I'll do this tomorrow, inshallah. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. But definitely, ask in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all the du'as and to give us what we ask and to give us from His generosity thereafter.